Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is the scripture lesson which was just read. As most of you know, this past Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday. And your attitude toward the outcome of this game depends on which team you were rooting for. Now, having spent my childhood years growing up in Western Pennsylvania, and also having spent 14 years serving pastor in a congregation located in a suburb of Pittsburgh, I was rather pleased with the outcome of this game. It was great to see the old hometown football team win the championship. And perhaps this is more of a male characteristic than a female one, but there is a certain satisfaction derived from watching your favorite team win the big game. Men like to live vicariously through the successes of their favorite sports team. If we can't score the winning touchdown ourselves or make that last second shot to win the game, then the next best thing is to watch someone else do it for us. And even if you're not a big sports fan, we all tend to live vicariously through the great achievements of someone else. As parents, we often dream of seeing our children grow up and succeed in those areas of life where we ourselves have not had much opportunity for success. If we're reading some exciting novel or watching a movie, we often imagine ourselves in the role of the hero in that particular story. We can find many different ways of identifying with the successes of those who achieve great things that we are simply unable to accomplish. But yet, when it comes to our lives as Christians, there is only one person in whom we live vicariously. There's only one individual whose accomplishment gives us that great eternal hope and that reason for daily living. And that person is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We live because he lives. He has won that victory for us over sin, death, and the power of the devil. In our scripture lesson this morning, the Apostle Paul describes the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul portrays Christ as being preeminent in every possible way. According to Paul, there's no one greater than our Lord Jesus Christ aside from the Heavenly Father himself. Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians to combat certain false doctrines that were plaguing this particular congregation. And it's difficult to pinpoint exactly what these heresies were, but based on the remarks that Paul makes in chapter 2, we can surmise that the Colossians were being tempted to adopt some form of Judaism with Gnostic-like tendencies. In the second chapter of this epistle, Paul warns against being captivated by a deceptive philosophy that depends on human traditions and the principles of this world. Paul writes that the Old Testament dietary laws and those Jewish religious festivals were merely a shadow of the greater things that were to come in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul urges the Colossians not to be deceived by those who delight in false humility and in the worship of angels, and he warns against following strict rules that deal harshly with the physical body, but in the end have no way of controlling its sinful human passions. Instead, Paul preaches that Christ is far superior to all of these things. And Paul assures the Colossians that they have been delivered from the dominion of darkness and have received new life only through the death and resurrection of Christ. Our text from Colossians chapter 1 contains what some scholars believe to be an early Christian hymn of praise to the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And Paul could confess these majestic words not only based upon the church's understanding of the person of Christ, but also from his personal experience as well. You'll remember that Paul received a vision of the risen and ascended Lord and even heard the voice of Jesus speaking to him while on the road to Damascus. Paul experienced the supremacy of Christ firsthand when the Lord of glory blinded him with heavenly light and called him to be his chosen apostle to the Gentile nations. In our text, Paul writes that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the one by whom all things were made. Even though Jesus came to this world as a humble man and showed himself to be the visible revelation of God, he is above and beyond all things in this world. He is before all things, since he is the creator of all things, both the visible and the invisible. Not only does Christ pre-exist all creation, he is the source of all creation. When it comes to the things of this world, Christ is supreme, whether it is in the heavenly realm of angels or in the earthly realm of human beings. Christ is Lord of all. Not only is he first in respect to time and space, he is foremost in respect to glory, honor, and might. Our text also says that Christ is the head of the church, the firstborn from among the dead. And here we're told that Christ is also supreme in respect to our redemption. Christ is the founder and leader of the church, the author and perfecter of our faith, the church's one foundation. Christ is supreme because he is the one who conquered the power of sin, death, and the devil for us. And by his death and resurrection, he became the source of salvation for us sinners. So now we have forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life through faith in his name. And Christ accomplished this great victory by entering this world as a man. Through his physical body, which died on the cross and rose again on the third day, he brought reconciliation to the whole world. His blood, which was shed, made peace with God for us through the forgiveness of our sins. At one time, all of us were alienated from God through our sins, but now we are holy in God's sight, free from every accusation through faith in Jesus' name. And through our baptism, we are connected to the benefits of his cross. As Paul says, if we continue in this faith, not forsaking the message of the gospel, we will remain holy and blameless in God's sight. These words of Paul remind us that there is no one greater in heaven and on earth. As Jesus said of himself in the Gospel of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Christ is the supreme ruler of creation. He is the only source of our redemption. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. In this letter to the Colossians, Paul reminds us that all heresy, in one way or another, is truly an attack on the supremacy of Jesus Christ. The goal of false doctrine ultimately is to diminish or to replace the person and work of Christ. For example, the theory of evolution, among other reasons, cannot be true since it denies the role of Christ in creation. Salvation by means of works righteousness is a false teaching because it detracts from the work of Christ on behalf of our redemption. To look to some person as our divine intercessor, whether they are in heaven or on earth, is to diminish that priestly role of Christ as our only mediator. To establish within the church on earth a single seat of divine authority is to reduce that headship that belongs to Christ alone. The duty of the church is always to proclaim and to defend the lordship of Jesus Christ. And by doing this, the church not only brings all glory and honor to her Savior, she keeps and preserves the confession of the true faith which Christ revealed to his apostles. Even though Jesus is unseen to our eyes, he is still the firstborn over all creation and the only source of our redemption. His word and sacraments continue to bring us those blessings of salvation to all who believe. He is still the ruler of the church and the coming judge of the living and the dead. Someday, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let us join with the Apostle Paul in giving Christ all the tribute that he deserves, for he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. To him alone be all glory, honor, and praise forever and ever. Amen.